Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It's time for The Bigger Picture. I tell you what, I've been looking at the bigger picture of the NASDAQ. And even though we have pulled back quite considerably overnight, we are still way above where we were this time last year.
That's so true. I feel like, you know, when we came into the studio and we saw the sharp market sell-off and the numbers, Ryan's voice somehow crept into my head saying, what goes up must come down.
Yes. Well, in a sense, it's a bit of a deja vu because sometime last year, it was also a sharp sell-off, but this time for a different reason. Of course, rising bond yields, 1.6% overnight, is now around 1.5% after settling down. And that is a one-year high. And all this around concerns, raising concerns over tighter borrowing costs down the road. Investors also a bit worried that this will affect the attractiveness of stocks versus fixed income investments. So let's get a bigger picture from Shane Oliver. He is the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. Happy Friday, Shane. Oh, let's talk about what's happening in the markets, Shane. Markets getting a bit rattled around the spike in bond yields, and it's all around expectations of inflation for various factors like perceptions of an improving economy. So bond investors over the past week getting worried about the potential for inflation. But Fed Chair Jerome Powell says, stop worrying about it. So Shane, who is right?
Well, they're both right in a way. The bond market is anticipating, rightly, a further recovery in global economic activity. Don't forget, there's also a saying, which is what goes down goes up. Last year, we had a massive collapse in bond yields as investors anticipated depression and deflation. That's now thrown out the window. We're not going to have depression and we're probably not going to have deflation. So bond markets, bond yields have had to readjust. And that's what we're seeing. It's just that it's occurring very rapidly and that's putting pressure on share markets. So I think the bond market in that sense has got it right directionally. The problem for central banks is that they're worried that the bond markets are worried about a sharp spike in inflation in the very short term as last year's disinflation or weakness drops out, and therefore any pickup in inflation will be transitory, and therefore the central banks would be wrong to sort of follow the bond markets into raising interest rates and ending bond buying. So I think they're both right. I do think the bond markets have probably got a bit ahead of themselves, as they often do. But by the same token, it is putting a lot of pressure on central banks to sort of come out more forcefully and defend their monetary easing, perhaps buy more bonds or do whatever. There is a danger, as we've said in the past, that as bond yields go higher and higher, it puts more and more pressure on share markets. Now, if share markets come down heavily, that will affect the economic outlook.
Yeah, Shane, we've been talking about rising bond yields for quite some time. But what's worth noting is overnight, there was a milestone reached in terms of the 10-year bond yield now above the dividend yield of the S&P 500. So we are talking about around 1.5% versus 1.43%. So this means it's less risky to invest in bonds, but you get better returns. So is this milestone event a trigger for an even stronger correction in the stock market?
Well, that's certainly a risk. The equation or what investors need to think about is how much earnings will go up. And we have seen a pretty strong earnings reporting season just conclude in the US. US company profits now back to where they were prior to coronavirus, just like the bond yield is. And if the earnings continue to rise as the economy recovers and we see reopening, then that will support the share market. Because don't forget, prior to the pandemic, we also had a situation where bond yields were above the dividend yield. It's been a bit of a norm for a while in the US, except for through the pandemic period where bond yields fell so far they fell below the dividend yield. So the share market did okay in that environment, but you need earnings growth to come through. That is the key. And right now, this is the big issue. Why are we seeing NASDAQ? I mean, NASDAQ has fallen 7%. The broad US market, S&P 500, it's down about 2.7% from its high about a week ago. Why has NASDAQ come down further? Because it won't see the same earnings upgrades. And it's what you call a long-duration stock. The earnings from tech stocks are way off in the future, and therefore they're very sensitive to what short-term interest rates and bond yields do. and that's why tech stocks are now so vulnerable. Tech stocks benefited from the fall in lower interest rates. Now we're seeing the reverse.
That's right.
And that's bad news for tech stocks.
Rajendra Shane Oliver, he's the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Now, Shane, let's talk about alternative opportunities and how investors are reallocating their capital this year. Overnight, I'm looking at all 11 sectors on the S&P 500 in the red. So where are investors flocking to? I mean, in this environment, where should it be going to in terms of yields and returns?
Well, in terms of the share market, you should be investing in those sectors that will benefit from a cyclical economic recovery and see the strongest earnings upswing. And I would put in that category industrials, materials stocks, probably consumer discretionary and financials, and probably also energy stocks. In there. So they're the ones that are going to see the biggest upgrades, and that'll provide a bit of a hedge against higher interest rates and maybe higher inflation. Whereas I'd be a little bit wary about tech stocks, healthcare stocks. Yeah, they were last year's winners. They did really well. They've had many years of good gains, but they're not going to see the earnings upgrades that these other sectors will see.
Yeah, what's your take on gold right now? It's down 2.2% overnight near a one-week low. Is this time to buy on the dips for gold to diversify?
Well, it could do. I mean, in the old days, if you were worried about inflation, you would buy gold. These days, some people say buy Bitcoin. I'm still trying to work out whether that's a rational thing to do, given my dependence of Bitcoin on whatever car company executive.
Tesla.
Tesla. So that sort of makes me a bit wary about that. It reminds me more of a cult than a currency. But, yeah, if you are wary of inflation, then this dip in gold price might provide a bit of a hedge for you. But some would say, well, maybe the fall in the gold price is telling us that inflation won't be a problem. I do note that overnight the copper price did very well, whereas the gold price hasn't done so well. So maybe you should be buying commodities which are leveraged to economic recovery, but also provide a hedge against higher inflation, rather than just gold, which is a lot more speculative.
Yeah, talking about copper prices, commodity prices have been one reason why the Aussie dollar has been going up so strongly in the past few months. Year to date, it's up around 2%. So a bit of good news if you're going online shopping in the US, Shane, from where you are, Aussie dollar at two-year highs. What's your outlook for the Aussie dollar in terms of upside?
It's also good news if I'm going on a holiday. The trouble is that holiday would have to be virtual because the only place I can go on a holiday is in Australia, which takes Australian dollars. But, good news for Australians that might be buying things online. What's driving it up is the commodity prices. Commodities still dominate Australian exports. And so it's still very much a cyclical commodity-driven currency. It fell to 55 cents through the pandemic. That was the low point just less than a year ago. And, of course, it's had a massive recovery since. Overnight, believe it or not, it did actually briefly get above 80 US cents. And it's since fallen back a little bit with share markets coming down. But I reckon by the end of the year, it's probably going to be even higher, maybe around 85 US cents. So I think it's got more upside ahead of it. As the global recovery continues, that pushes commodity prices up.
All right, we'll keep track of the Aussie dollar down the road. With Mr. Shane Oliver, he is the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Shane, thank you for your time and have a great weekend in advance.
Thank you, Ryan. Hope you have a great weekend too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.